Thank you, Leslie. I want to invite you into a reading. It comes from the Hebrew Scriptures, comes from the Old Testament. It's 1 Kings. We're going to begin at verse 19, continue through verse 11, just a couple of verses, 11 through 13. I'm going to be reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. This is the updated edition. And he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." And now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the silence that you meet us in. And ask, oh God, that in Jesus' name, that you may speak into each of our hearts, that you may speak your voice into each of our lives. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the words that you have spoken into my heart. And I pray that as I speak this morning, that they will be words that are pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For this we ask in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and the one who saves us. Amen. You know, one of those opportunities that I have so often as a pastor is that I hear from so many people that have conversations with me that are and I hear this over and over, that some of you are so desperate to hear God's voice. I mean, how many of you would love to have that moment as Elijah had to find himself sheltered in that cave and then be in a place where he was present when God was about to pass by? And I know that oftentimes we well know what that voice is that moves in a voice that comes to us, because all of us have this voice that comes into our heads and moves in our heads. That voice that has an opportunity to come to us and it can energize us in amazing ways. That voice that speaks in our lives and says, you know, you really can do this when the fatigue that's in your body makes you feel like, yeah, I just can't do that right now. It's a voice that comes in our heads sometimes that can inspire us in ways that nothing else can in this world. And there's also a voice, oftentimes that same voice, and can happen within what seems like microseconds of each other, that same voice that can tear us down. That voice that goes on in our heads that can destroy, well, those positive thoughts that you had about thinking about where you were going next. And a voice that can say, well, quite strongly, that you are incapable of doing anything right. And still at other times, there's a voice that can go off in all of our heads that can, a voice that's almost like this place that roars and jumps around from subject to subject, and it seems like it's never going to stop. I mean, have you thought about it in this moment? I was trying to invite our children into that when they were kneeling at the altar. But have you thought about in this moment, throughout the time that we have spent together, and it's not a lot of time that we've spent together, but in this short amount of time that we have been together in this place, and it doesn't matter if you're in the room, it doesn't matter if you're online, but in the time that we have gathered here in this moment, spending time together, in moments where we paused, in moments where we didn't run our mouths, in moments where there was stillness, in moments where there was quiet, where there were no other sounds, no other words, when we prayed or other moments, when all the sounds around you sort of started to get quiet, Did you hear God's voice? Maybe it's in that brief time. That brief time when we were transitioning with songs. Maybe that brief time as Pam and Leslie were walking down, I was walking up. But did you have that moment where you said, this is God's voice? And also, would you want to hear God's voice on a Sunday morning? Would you want to be in a place where you were able to hear God's voice? What if you were able to imagine being able to pause and in the stillness and in the quiet to be able to hear God's voice speaking to you and speaking to your life, speaking to your future, having God's voice saying clearly which steps you would take next? You see, this is one of the things that we're going to be doing over this summer is we're going to, go on a joint journey together as we learn how to hear God. I began to put together a spiritual life where God's voice becomes the main voice in all of our heads. And as you see in this story that, where we were talking about Elijah, not the one that was present with us, but the one that lived a few centuries ago. But as we were talking about Elijah, in this beautiful story from the Old Testament, this prophet Elijah learns to hear God's voice. The voice that is going to direct his entire life in the midst of what will be unimaginable noise and different circumstances that are surrounding him. And it's against this wide-ranging history and tradition of how to hear God's voice that Elijah learns to emerge out of that cave and learns to hear the voice of God in a brand new way. And this is going to be the voice, this voice of God that is going to give purpose and meaning to Elijah for the rest of his life. I mean, just standing, as we were saying, go out and stand on this mountain. What do you believe was going through Elijah's head in that moment? What was the voice that was inside his head in that moment to go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord? Because God is going to pass by. God is about to pass by. Well, in January of 2021, there was a psychologist at the University of Michigan who published a book. It's called Chatter, The Voice in Our Head, Why It Matters and How to Harness It. Now, you can imagine January of 2021, some of the voices, some of the kind of voices that were swirling all around us because we were still very much in the middle of a global pandemic that, I know in my own sense, I was still learning how to respond to. But he describes in this book the self-talk that happens. This negative, this positive self-talk, even the voice that when we are stressed and anxious that seems like it's on this nonstop loop, that's what he describes as chatter. This voice that just seems to go on and on and on and on. And it's a book that is fascinating, but it's also extraordinarily hopeful because he points toward this idea of harnessing that voice inside our heads, where we can stop that endless chatter that seems like it's on a loop. And this is the hopeful part for me. Because imagine if we were able to stop that endless loop. Imagine if we were able to quiet that chatter that happens in all of our heads. Again, chatter being that psychological, that really specific idea for that voice in our heads. But imagine being able to stop it, slow it down, pause it at moments, so that we, as followers of Jesus, could hear God's voice speaking to us. That's what seems to be so hopeful to me about this idea of chatter. And that's what I think is so vital to us being able to be in a place where we can stop some of that chatter that happens. Because I know for me, there have been times in my life when God was about to pass by, and there was so much chatter that I didn't hear God speak. I also know that there have been moments in my lives when I've had so much chatter that has happened in my own head and in my own self-talk that, when God did pass by, as Elijah describes it, because God does pass by every single one of us, that as God was passing by, that, I would even argue at times with God and say, well, my way has to be better. When Elijah stands on this mountain, and he stands on this mountain, there is a tradition of winds blowing, splitting mountains, cracking open rocks. And there is a tradition that points and says, that is when God is present. That is when God is speaking. And when Elijah stands there, with every expectation that God is going to pass by, there is this long line of God speaking in extraordinarily powerful, supernatural events. You can probably remember some of them, and a lot of them emerge from the Hebrew Scriptures, from the Old Testament. But you can likely remember Moses having a tremendous experience of God speaking to Moses from a burning bush. You may remember a pillar of fire that is guiding the people of God through the Exodus. You may be somewhat familiar with a great flood and on and on and on, these supernatural events where it has been the tradition, it has been the understanding that this has to be where God is. This has to be the moment that God is speaking. And I'm amazed at the prophet Elijah, who is able to stand there to stop the chatter, the noise, the distraction of everything that is around him, to hear God speak to him in sheer silence. We know that beautiful story of Jesus. That beautiful story of Jesus when he is in the boat with the disciples. And do you remember this story when Jesus is in the boat with the disciples and they encounter a storm? And they encounter a storm that shakes the boat and it rocks the boat, and all of a sudden, it's not just their inside voices, but they share it with each other. They're scared, they're afraid, they're frightened, and they notice, where is Jesus? And Jesus is asleep. Again, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of all the noise that is happening around him, Jesus is asleep, and they say, you've got to wake him. Doesn't he care? Doesn't Jesus care about us? Doesn't Jesus care that we're going to perish? Doesn't Jesus care that we're about to die? And Jesus emerges and calms the sea. Elijah does not know that story. Elijah knows that God speaks through these overwhelming supernatural events. And he is able to hear God speak in sheer silence. And how does he do it? Letting God's voice be the overwhelming voice in his life over the distraction of wind and earthquake and fire. And maybe even asking ourselves, what is it that we want to hear? Because I don't think there's a single one of us that does not want to hear God speak to us. I think this happens inside the church as well as outside the church. I think there are many people that are in our world right now that want desperately to hear God speaking into their lives to give them meaning and purpose and even just direction in their lives. Imagine that. Imagine having God's voice leading and directing our lives. Now, I know at times it can be difficult. And I know at times that we may play around with God's presence in our lives and even God's voice in our lives. St. Augustine would say in his confessions, he would talk about, Lord, I want you to make me chaste. That is, I want you to make me pure. I want you to make me chaste. And then he would follow that, but not yet. Lord, make me the person that you know I can be, but just don't do it yet. I know that it's possible for us to play with God's voice in our lives. St. Augustine was doing this before what will become a tremendous and powerful conversion in his own lives, where we get his confessions that he wrote. But what remains true is that God speaks to us even when we play around with God's voice. Even when we play around with God's presence in our world. God speaks to us even when we are stressed, even when we are detached, and when we're in those mindless, endless loops in our own heads. But what the Bible does show us over and over again, and what Elijah offers us in this moment, is that it's incredibly hard to hear God's voice when the chatter of our own self-talk is so loud. And as loud as and strong as it is when wind is cracking rocks in two, as destructive as our voice can be, as fire is, and even as destructive as our own voices can be when it is destroying the very foundations of our own self-esteem and our own lives, as much as an earthquake is able to touch the foundations of places like Los Angeles, California, as Aaron and Lee have experienced. I don't think I need to remind you that as your pastor or even as anyone else, that God's voice has a lot to compete with in all of our lives. I've really focused only on one, but we have lots of distractions around us. What would it mean? What would it mean for us as people of God to stop the chatter? We have that opportunity. We have that ability to stop the chatter that is our own self-talk. But imagine if we did it so we were creating room for God's voice to speak more and more in our lives. And what if we did it in such a way that we began to loosen the grips, that we began to give up just a little bit of all those ways that we have known, and that all those traditions that we have had of the way that God speaks in our lives and in our worlds? What if we were open enough to say, could God be speaking in a brand new way to me? To be open, to be standing and expecting that God is going to pass by, to listen for the sheer silence, stopping our own chatter and letting it become specific and personal in our own lives. Did you notice at the very end of this scripture that we're sharing together? Did you notice at the very end of this? Because I think that this is the opportunity that we have if we're willing to do this. I think this is a tremendous opportunity that Elijah really shows us a pathway. He doesn't teach us about how to hear the voice of God. He shows us. He doesn't invite us to memorize these ways that God was not found, although the writer of 1 Kings and this historical record is showing us these are the ways that God was not speaking. This is the way that God was not speaking. This is where God was not. I think what Elijah is doing is saying, this is how God can speak in your life. This is how God can speak in all of our lives. Because at the very end, God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? That's what I'm inviting you to. Not a general, not a generic, not a voice that is good for all of us together, but a voice that says, why are we here? What are we doing in this moment? Imagine before our own self-talk, before our own chatter came into that space, imagine if that's where we heard the voice of God. Extraordinarily personal. Very specific. Well, may God give us ears that we may hear. Let's pray. We thank you for the stillness of this space. We thank you for the sheer silence that moves in and out of all of our lives, Lord. Lord, we ask you, speak to us, each one. And with your own invitation, Jesus, We now prepare our hearts and we prepare our souls to come to your table. Lord, you have called us together around these gifts of bread and of juice that are here. And we ask you, O God, to let us come at the invitation of Jesus. We recognize, O God, that this table is open because Christ himself has offered it. And we recognize, Lord, that we do not have to be a member of this church. We do not have to be a member of the United Methodist Church. All are welcome at this table. As we seek to live in peace with you, as we seek to live in peace with one another, Lord, it is at that invitation that we come. And Lord, may we, in the still and the sheer silence in between all of our conversations and all of our words, may we even in this moment at your table begin to hear your voice, and may it be a means of grace in all of our lives. For it is in the name of Christ, our Lord, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen.